David Eckstein joins us on Sports Byline USA, former Major League shortstop who played 10 seasons with the Angels, Cardinals, Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, and Padres, and he is one of only a few starting shortstops who have won a World Series in both the American and National Leagues. And with St. Louis, he won the 2006 World Series MVP Award. He played his college ball at the University of Florida. And I noticed in some of the notes that I had, you were voted most helpful in your class. Now, you got to help me out with that one, David. What does most helpful mean?
I was the guy that was always nice, and I was nice to everybody. So if someone needed some help, I was the guy that would come around and help them, say hello to everybody. So I think that's why I was probably voted most helpful.
Did you get any ragging on for that?
Not really. No one really. Because if you knew me and back when I went to school with all the, I got along with everybody. So I was just, it was anybody at the school I got along with. So it was just one of the things of basically who I am as a person.
Tell me about growing up in Sanford, Florida.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I was very fortunate to have two loving parents who both were teachers in the Seminole County school system. Both taught in Sanford and went through that system with just understanding that school came first and then baseball second. And at that time, it was kind of when the hotbed started heating up for, especially good baseball players in the Orlando area, and I kind of hit it at the right time. And I was very fortunate to have a coach at a young age, Rod Ferguson, who basically took us under his wings, and we weren't allowed to bring our bats to practice because we were going to learn the game. We're going to learn the strategies of the game, how to play defense, and go about it the right way. And because of that, at such an early age, it led on to high school. He followed us to Seminole High School in Sanford, which we were fortunate enough to win the state title in 1992. So it was the first baseball title.
You were a two-time All-State selection, but yet you had to be a walk-on at the University of Florida. Now there's a disconnect there somewhere, David.
I think it was my 5 foot. My overpowering frame, maybe the 5 foot seven, the 150 pounds. Yes, and back then, the recruiting process is so in front of you now. But back then, you just waited it around. And my goals, I wanted a Division I school, so that was it. That was the only thing I was looking at. So I had college like write me letters, and if they weren't Division I, I really didn't even open them up. And I couldn't even tell you if I have any from, like, an NAIA school. But I know I had the local community college after at one point. And so that was the only really offer, but that was really late in it. And basically there I was going to have to compete against my brother, who didn't play second base because I was a second baseman at that time. And my dad's like, he's going to Florida. So, yeah, so that's how I ended up walking on at Florida.
Is there a silver lining to that type of story? And what I mean by that, David, is the fact that nobody had expectations of you, that you knew you had to overcome certain things. And so, therefore, you worked a little bit harder, whereas I've heard too many of my friends in professional sports say that when a kid comes out of college, no matter what the sport is, they think that they're due something at the next level, and they forget that they have to reprove themselves.
That is such a great point. And, yes, that was like my life lesson in the sense of all through my life. It's one of those things that when you have to earn it and you have to work for it where nothing's handed to you, it makes it so much more special. And that's the one thing I try to reinforce with the young kids I work with nowadays and throughout my career. It's like when you earn it, it means something. You don't want someone to hand it to you. And like you said, you see these young kids who have had success and they're given big scholarships or given big bonus money and they think they have accomplished the world. And it's like, you haven't done anything. You have to prove yourself at the next level. And so, yeah, definitely that was probably the best thing to happen to me, that nothing was ever handed to me, that I worked for everything.
How were you as a first-time, two-time All-American, meaning academic All-American, at the University of Florida? How hard was it to balance both sports and academics?
It was a difficult process, but understand this. Like I said earlier, with my parents being teachers, schools came first. And I was very fortunate to have my family up there with me. So at some point in time, during every one of my years at Florida, I at least had a brother and a sister there, if not everyone was there. So by them being there and being there with me, also giving me the support, that also helped out. But yes, it's something that it means a lot to me, school. And I definitely want to take seriously because, like, going back to nothing was ever given to me, I had a backup plan. I was going to be a lawyer. And I knew if I had that backup plan in the sense of I was going to school, getting good grades to accomplish something else, it makes it when I step on the baseball field so much easier. Because if it doesn't work out, I have something to fall back. So I'm not putting all this kind of pressure on me. Oh, man, if I fail, all I can go is back probably doing baseball lessons. And I did not ever want to have that.
You were drafted by the Red Sox into the 19th round of the amateur draft. Put it into perspective for everybody, the difference between being a 19th round draft pick and somebody in the first or second rounds.
Well, basically, a 19th round draft pick that year, I received my $1,000. My dad... My dad asked, well, will they pay for your next school? And they're like, no, but he did get a hat out of it. So he was able to get a hat. So we got $1,000 and a hat. But, the first rounder, I think he got a little over $1 million, and right around $1 million. I think it was Mark Fisher that year. And so, but basically, I can say it, my first year I was there. So I go to short season A. And leading the team in hitting, and they send a high-mighty guy down, a third-rounder down, and I got automatically put on the bench. And I was told that baseball's not fair, but I'll try to get you in. This was Dick Berardino, my first manager, who was outstanding. And basically, the guy got injured, so I got back in the game because he had to go on the DL. And then after that point, when he came off, I was still leading the club, but earned my starting spot.
Why don't you also talk about what the minor leagues are truly like? I mean, I was just watching Bull Durham the other night, and I love that movie. And, you know, Bang the Drum Slowly is another one. It's a classic baseball movie as well. But when I think about the minors, and one of my great things is going around the country, and if I know that the town has a minor league team, like the River Dogs down in Charleston, South Carolina, I just love going to minor league baseball.
Yeah, they are so close. It's so interactive. The fans are great. Great, they love you. I had the opportunity, like I said, I started my first year in Lowell, Massachusetts, where, you know, the fans were just, they were coming, they were showing up at an alumni field. It was basically the park field they showed up, and now they got this great, wonderful stadium there. But the fans were awesome. Then come down to Sarasota with Ed Smith Stadium. That's the historic stadium down here. And then go to Trenton, New Jersey, where the fan base is unreal, to Pawtucket. I mean, I was kind of blessed to go through the minor league cities that I were able to be at, that it is such a great hometown feeling of baseball where the fans show up and they just love the game. And it's a great entertainment value for the especially the fan. And so that's the one thing. It's like these kids nowadays, yeah, the minor leagues are tough. They're very tough. And there's so many guys. But the ability to play in some of these new stadiums and some of these places, it builds character, but also it gives you that opportunity, that little taste of what it might like to be in the major leagues.
And you were selected off of waivers by the Angels. That was in 2000, but 2002 was a special year for you. It was the championship year for the Angels, the Anaheim Angels, and you also led the majors with 3 grand slams. Now, you said how small you were in stature. That kind of belies that when you had 3 grand slams. How did that happen?
Oh, it was kind of the strangest thing, yes. The first one happened, it was extra innings. We had been playing for, I think it was around like the 12th inning or something like that, and came up, bases loaded, and got a pitch, you know, just trying to, I think, like, you know, just get a hit, and the ball goes out. It's kind of funny when you do that. And then the very next day, get up, bases loaded, in my second at bat, and hit another one. And you got to understand, like, the ball went over the fence both times, barely by about a foot. I had the one spot at Anaheim I could hit the home run at. And so those were the first two, and then I added another one about a couple weeks later. But, yes, it was one of those things that – They all combined. They barely got out, but it was able to get it done. So I don't know. I enjoy hitting with the bases loaded.
We have about a minute before we have to break here, okay. David. But I'm wondering, is there anything that surprised you about baseball at the major league level as compared to what you thought it might be like?
What surprised me, the biggest thing that didn't really surprise me, but I would like to tell to the thing, is the fact that it's the same game that you played as a little kid. That's the biggest thing. It's that mental jump. people make it on such a high level, oh my gosh, I can never play there, but it's everything that goes between your head. If you can take yourself back to your Little League game, to your high school game, to your college game, it's the same game. And I think it's a little bit quicker, but it's the same game. So that was the biggest thing, that once I saw that, I was like, hey, I can play this. And so that was probably the biggest thing, and I try to pass on to the younger kids today.
I think one of the other things that you realized is keep it simple, and you kept it that way.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, K-I-S-S. Hold on just a second, David. We're talking baseball with David Eckstein, and a little bit later on we're going to talk also about a company that he has with his wife, which is just a wonderful collaboration, and I think you'll really love hearing this story. We'll also talk about his two World Series championship seasons as well, and we do that as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.